Welcome to a workshop, I guess is the best way to describe it, of the Miami Beach City Commission. Let me pull up what I need to be doing right now, but welcome. We're not going to be voting today, so the public doesn't necessarily have to worry about calling in, but this is what's called a Committee of the Whole meeting, and it's of April 15, 2021. We've conducted interviews of the city manager for the city manager position. We've shortlisted applicants. The shortlisted candidates are Jay Budiswar, Eric Carpenter, Anthony Figliola, Alina Hudak, Michael Reese, and John Woodworth. So due to the public health emergency and as authorized by City Resolution 2020-31474, today's Committee of the Whole will be taken from is being held virtually since no action is going to be taken. There'll be no voting. No comments or questions will be taken from the public. But the meeting is being broadcast live on Miami Beach TV, MBTV, viewable on the city's website, as well as on Atlantic Broadband, cable channel 660, which I'm sure everybody stays glued to all day long. Public may also join the meeting by going to the Zoom app on their device or by telephone at 301-715-8592 or, I'll repeat this twice, 888-475-4499. 888-475-4499. And by the way, the webinar ID number, and I'll repeat it twice, is 813-928-57671 pound. I'll repeat it. 813-928-57671 pound. So with that, I will ask Commissioner Samuelin if you don't mind, PJ, to put up a flag, and I'll have Commissioner Samuelin reprise his role as the leader of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you, Mayor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner, very much. Okay, so we're really going to do two things at this meeting. I'm going to bring up R9A and ask the city attorney, Rafael Paz, to introduce and explain it. I assume this is the voting procedure that the city attorney has come up with?
No, sir. That's R9H. In the beginning, we'd like to just provide the rules of the road for how the interviews will be conducted today.
Can we do the other thing as well right afterwards so we don't do it at the end?
We can, yes.
Well, let's see. Tell us the rules of the road first.
Okay. So in your agenda, the each candidate has been provided a time certain for their individual interviews, and the time slots were assigned in alphabetical order for fairness purposes. And each of the interviews will be approximately 30 minutes. At the 27-minute mark, the city clerk will provide a two-minute grace period to permit the candidates to wrap up and conclude their responses. In terms of the questions to be asked during the interviews, at the March 17th City Commission meeting, the feedback that we got from the body was that you didn't like the idea of having to ask all six of the candidates exactly the same question in this Zoom format. And I think the concern was that by the time the second or the third candidate is interviewed, everybody has the questions at that point in time, and the remaining candidates would have an advantage. So to ensure a level playing field and to address that issue, we've provided each candidate with a master list of the interview questions that will be asked today. The list is included in your packet as part of Agenda R9A, and the list was separately emailed to you earlier today for ease of reference. Importantly, during the interviews, candidates may only be asked questions from the master list. The idea is that each commissioner will get to pick whichever question or questions that you would like to ask from the list, and you'd also be able to ask candidates any follow-up questions based on the candidate's response. All members of the City Commission have been provided with the opportunity to contribute to the list. And so this isn't the clerk's list or the recruiter's list or my list, but this reflects all of the questions that that you've provided to us to share with the members and to potentially be asked today. In terms of your follow-up questions, I just wanted to note, you know, this is an important policy decision and a decision relating to the leadership of the city administration, but it's also an employment decision. And with that in mind, all of the questions on the master list, we've vetted them for compliance with anti-discrimination laws. But when you, if you do ask a follow-up question, please be careful to avoid any question that would could be perceived as reflecting a bias based on a candidate's personal characteristics. This would include not only the characteristics we're all familiar with under the federal and state laws, you know, such as race, ethnicity, gender, age, or disability, but also under our city's human rights ordinance, we've expanded on those characteristics. And so please also avoid questions about a candidate's religion, sexual orientation, marital or familial status, domestic partner status, height, weight, labor organization membership, or political affiliation. It's very easy to trip up on these issues here. I cringed a little bit over the weekend reading a media article where a reporter had asked one of our candidates their age. And that may be fair game for the media, but this is an employment interview and it's not fair game here. So with that, I believe that staff has moved over the first panelist or is ready to. And unless you have, you know, any additional questions, at least about this, you know, procedure in terms of how the conduct of the interviews will be conducted, then we can address, Mayor, you okay. wanted to address the voting procedure.
Thank you, Raphael. What could go wrong? So what we'll do is I'm going to, I'd like, Ralph Granata, you're going to keep time? Okay. Yes, so... the only thing I care deeply about right now is that everybody stay on their time. So, Raphael, please, when they start at 27 or whatever Ralph said, when 28, give them a two-minute warning, and we're going to stop promptly when the 30-minute mark hits. Secondly, I'll call on people for questions, and you don't all get to ask unlimited questions. As soon as we hit 30 minutes, if all that happened was Commissioner Samuelin asked a question and and the answer lasted the whole time, that'll be it. And then we'll move to the next person and I'll call on the next commissioner whose box I see on my Zoom. So we're going to follow the time because it's going to have 3 hours to do this. Now so the public knows we've all interviewed, I think at least I have, pretty certain most of you have interviewed all six candidates already privately. So this was just something I think we're doing so the public can get a sense of this process and maybe as well we can, because there's always more information to receive. So with that, I'm going to begin and it is, Ralph, it's 3:02. So let's go to, and we're gonna give everybody a chance to say something at the beginning and then we'll do the questions. So Jay, you're up. Thank you for applying. And at 3:13, the time begins.
And Mayor, just one note, we would suggest that for all candidates that you start with the first question on the list, you know, which includes the opening statement as well, but that.
Okay, I'll give everybody the same first question. Jay, please briefly summarize your background and experience and tell us why I believe you are a good candidate for city manager and why you want such an extremely demanding position. And at 3:13, you're starting.
Great. Thank you, Mayor. And what a great question to start with. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Honorable Mayor, Commissioners, staff, and residents. Let me begin by just saying how honored and extremely humbled I am to be a finalist for your next city manager. Yesterday, I emailed each of you a letter and some supplemental information to summarize the thoughts that I have compiled over the last few months. As I mentioned in my note to you, the past few months really kind of began with a blur for me, and that blur has evolved into some clarity. The blur actually began back in January when Mr. Robert Berg called me to advise me that the city was seeking a new city manager and encouraged me to apply. I was aware of the vacancy, but I expected that the position would not be posted. And I just assumed that it would be filled internally. And quite frankly, I wasn't looking for a job. When I learned from Mr. Berg that the Mayor and Commission had approved the recruitment process, I immediately decided that this was just an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. I put my toes in the water, and I quickly immersed myself in all things Miami Beach. Your decision to do this search and to explore external talent should be commended, because it demonstrates your commitment to the community in finding the right person at this critical moment in time to lead the city administration in the years ahead. When one is contemplating a job change, there's usually push and pull factors at play. There are no push factors from the town of Palm Beach. I love the community that I have served for the last 15 years. I love our employees. I love our residents. But it goes without saying that there are numerous pull factors with the city of Miami Beach that has me so excited about this opportunity. Miami Beach, and I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't already know, Miami Beach has such a wonderful and strong global brand. It's nationally known for its quality governance and its strong administration, its talent pool, if you will. Your citizens are engaged and they're active, and this is commendable and so important for the success of any community. Your community is diverse, warm, and inclusive, and this is the type of culture that I would love to live in. Its commitment to investing in public safety and quality of life projects, they fit my public service principles. Your commitment to investing in infrastructure to protect properties and the environment demonstrates a real seriousness for planning for the future. And the beach's commitment has tremendous potential to diversify its economy and strategically develop the built environment, while focusing on preserving the history and small town feel of this very special community. This is very exciting for someone like me, someone who is in the prime of his career. I would be remiss if I didn't also convey to you how excited my wife is at the possibility of becoming a resident of your special community. In my career, I have served two other communities in which I was also a resident, and I have to tell you, it's a much different dynamic. There's a personal stake when one serves the community they live in and pays taxes to, and a much greater sense of responsibility for its success. To prepare for today and to understand the challenges that may lie ahead for me as your next city manager, I was committed to doing the hard work up front, and I started to explore your community. After learning that I was selected as a finalist, I took five trips down to Miami Beach. I spent countless hours reading articles, watching past commission meetings, reading minutes, looking through your various plans, and reading your current fiscal year budget. During my trips to the beach, I spent many hours meeting with business owners and residents and other individuals who care about your community and its future. The work that I put into learning about Miami Beach has provided me with multiple observations. Even though Miami Beach has a strong global brand with a storied history, it appears to me that it's going through a period of introspection. The legacy that was left by previous mayors, commissioners, and administrators have shaped your brand, but the brand is not forever secure without committing to making the right policy decisions to maintain it. I believe that 2021 is a defining year for Miami Beach and for the next generation of residents and businesses. COVID-19 has really tested all communities across America and has tested your community as well. And I believe this past year has helped residents to realize what priorities are most important to them. The broadly reported challenges that you all faced during the 2021 spring break season has created a sense of urgency to determine how important spring breakers are in maintaining Miami Beach's economy and also the maintenance of its brand. The post-COVID world will be very different. And I think that Miami Beach is ready to lead what that looks like in terms of public safety, public health, quality of life, redevelopment, and commerce. As I stated in my letter, I believe the future of Miami Beach is exceptionally bright and the opportunities are vast. How you move forward will start at the top. And I believe, as I have my entire career, that the top should be your residence. The search for a new city manager is probably one of the most critical, if not the critical, decision you'll make this year. Why do I believe I'm a good candidate, and why do I want such a demanding position? I'm a fairly young guy, but I have over 26 years of public service experience, 20 of them in senior management leadership roles. I feel I'm in the prime of my career, and I feel I am ready to meet the 24/7 demands of such a position. I possess a progressive and diverse experience in multiple communities, from college towns like Bloomington, Indiana, to urban cities like East Chicago. And of course, there's Palm Beach, whose reputation is internationally known. These experiences have uniquely prepared me for this opportunity. The diversity and the range of my experience has placed me in positions on the front lines, providing direct customer service to residents, to high-level senior leadership situations that have included negotiating multi-million dollar construction projects. My specific experience and achievements with the town of Palm Beach should make my transition to Miami Beach almost seamless in terms of understanding and fulfilling the high expectations of service delivery and addressing the unique needs of a coastal barrier island community. I have a demonstrated record of accomplishment in leading major infrastructure projects, community collaborations, as well as delicately handling concerns of residents from all walks of life. I have also worked closely with numerous nonprofits within the town of Palm Beach. One, as an example, is our Island Cats program, who administers our TNR, trap, neuter, and release program for the community's feral cat colonies. There are a few paths one can take to become a city manager. Some come from the private sector, or in the case of your former manager, from a legal background in city administration. Others start their careers in the city manager's office and work their way up in the administration. And then there are those who start on the front lines in a department of city government and progress through the ranks like I did. I'm a strong believer that in order to effectively lead your team, one must know what it's like to walk in their shoes. My career path in the quality of life space, working with children and families, planning community events, that's how I started. And that's when I learned as a young professional that it is the people that make a city a community. I understand through my experiences that every community has its own unique history and culture, and I expect to face many challenges in the early stages of my service as city manager at the beach. I can be a bit Pollyanna, but I have to tell you, I am not naive. Having been fortunate to serve multiple communities in the Midwest and in South Florida, I've had the opportunity to learn how to quickly assimilate and know what it takes to build and maintain effective and high-functioning teams. Regardless of the community I have served, I am a lifelong believer in exceeding expectations. This is how organizations earn trust and build credibility. Having a culture of responsiveness is critical to this end. Like quality customer service, a culture of responsiveness to the community and to each other must be operationalized. It must be instinctive and it must be the norm. This starts with your city manager leading by example. Leading with yes and having a service mindset should be the default position of all city staff. Creating, promoting, and rewarding this type of behavior is the responsibility of the senior leadership team, and I plan to work with the team to identify what we can do as a city to ensure this type of culture is seen throughout the team for the benefit of the community we serve. I know that I will have my work cut out for me to earn the trust of my new teammates, the mayor and city commission, residents and business community, and I look forward to earning your trust and if I am fortunate to be selected, and I look forward to having this conversation with you today. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. I'm going to just revise myself in one way, and that is I'm going to call on whoever raises their hand. I don't need to call on someone who may not want to ask a question. So I'll give you all a second. I see Commissioner Samuelin has raised his hand. Commissioner Samuelin, go ahead. And then I'll go to Commissioner Gongora. Vice Mayor Lindor.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Jay. Sea level rise and resiliency is a critical priority for the city. Various approaches such as raising of roads in low-lying neighborhoods or locations of pumps are often controversial. How would you approach these issues as city manager? And please be as specific as possible of what you would do differently compared to the efforts the city has undertaken to date.
Thank you, Commissioner. Well, of course, that's a very important question for the city of Miami Beach. In fact, that very same question is faced by the town of Palm Beach. I don't know, you know, I'm not privy to all of the details of what planning efforts went into went into where you are at this moment. What I can tell you is that planning and prioritizing and community engagement is key. Resiliency isn't just about fortifying your border on the bay side or on the coastal side. It's also what's happening underground. It's not just elevation. I understand that the city has begun dealing with the issue of resiliency. I understand that there may be a bit of concern in terms of what started first and what the priorities really are. If I'm selected as your city manager, the first thing that I would need to do is get with your team. Try to understand how the city went about developing its action plan to deal with sea level rise and climate change issues. If we need to take a step back, to reassess, we need to take a step back. But this is a long-term issue, and planning is so critical, and prioritizing is absolutely key. You should not be addressing issues today that aren't projected to be a problem until tomorrow. You need to be dealing with the issues that are a problem today. So having that priority and also developing a progressive plan that deals with issues that are going to be issues later is what I believe is the right way to do it. What that also does is it spreads out the cost. So your residents today aren't bearing the entire burden of fortifying your community and dealing with these issues for the next 100 years. These should be progressive plans, scalable plans that can be built upon over the years. I talked about what's happening underground. Storm pipes, sanitary sewer pipes. I understand that your infrastructure is fairly old. I believe everything is subaqueous. There's leakage. There's infiltration issues that need to be looked at. This type of work is so important. It's not work that your community may see and really appreciate, like higher bulkhead or seawalls, but these are things that are critical and probably should be on the front end of your action plan, not later.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to the Vice Mayor, Gongora, and then Commissioner Miner.
Thank you, and thank you, Jay, for that presentation. What do you bring to the table that makes you stand out amongst the field of candidates for this position? And in your answer, please specifically highlight at least two or three things that would make you the best choice for the job.
Well, quite frankly, I've reviewed the credentials of the finalists, and I have to say they're all very impressive. They're very impressive. You have a very qualified and accomplished pool of professionals, but there are contrasts. As it relates to the external candidates, frankly put, my 15 years in coastal Palm Beach has provided me experiences and expertise that you're not going to obtain in Ohio and New York. These gentlemen, they're fine candidates and I'm sure excellent professionals, but you cannot replace having experience in South Florida. My experience with specific issues to South Florida and in an upscale barrier island community are invaluable. Coastal barrier communities can also be contrasted to inland communities like Sunrise or Wellington or Homestead. They're different environments with different needs in terms of sea level rise and all of the things that you all are very well versed. Preparing for hurricanes, fighting with the state legislature. That's consumed my week. It's a constant battle, fighting off bills that attacked home rule. My learning curve is going to be very minimal in terms of being an external candidate than my colleagues from Ohio and New York. As it relates to the internal candidates, I'm clearly at a disadvantage in terms of knowing the community and the community knowing them. You cannot go wrong if you choose an internal candidate, but I challenge you to ask yourself some questions. Is 2021 the time for the known, or is 2021 the defining year, your opportunity to select someone with fresh perspectives, strong leadership qualities, new ideas, and someone who's committed to being your neighbor too?
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Minor.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for being here and going through this process. Much appreciated. So Miami Beach has a very strong public safety focus for both our police and fire departments. What's been your involvement, track record, and experience dealing with public safety dealing with police departments and fire department?
Sure. They're extensive, Commissioner. I work very, very closely with both of our chiefs, their command staff, every day. Public safety should be the number one priority for every community. It certainly is in Palm Beach, and it's one of the services that defines who we are. When you're hiring people to serve your community, to protect your community, to respond to emergencies, it's so critical who you hire. Training is important, resource is important, but the character and the development of people and the culture that you should have in a community to ensure it's resident-focused is so important. And I've been fortunate to work with an outstanding team of individuals in Palm Beach, from our command staff down to our rank and file. Now, Palm Beach has resources, but so does Miami Beach. And you cannot effectively plan for and provide modern-day public safety services without deploying the use of technology. I have extensive experience working with our team to implement the use of citywide surveillance systems. I recall the mayor mentioning the establishment of a quote crime center. We have such a thing already. We have in our 911 operator room our large TVs that have some of our critical points in town. With a constant stream of video. We use LPR, license plate recognition technology, at all of our bridges and at our southern entrance point. These tools that we have has created a situation where our community is able to clear crimes at a rate of 3 to 4 times the national average. There's a reputation in Palm Beach. If you come to do bad stuff, you're going to get caught. So it's a deterrent. Our reputation for solving crime is a deterrent. And I'm really proud to be a part of this team. One of the newest pieces of technology we just put into service is a virtual training device. It's a de-escalation tool, a stress inoculation tool, where we put officers in a room, a 360 room, and put them through virtual situations that create high stress environments to inoculate them to stress so they can keep calm, analyze what's going on, and make sure they make good decisions. So it's, you know, the old days of how you train, they're the old days. There are new tools that are before us. And if I'm lucky enough to come to Miami Beach, I would be so excited to work with your chiefs, to talk about some of the ideas, some of the things that we've done in Palm Beach, in the police department, and also in the fire rescue departments. I have worked extensively with fire rescue on emergency management issues. I actually, when I was serving in a dual role about 7-8 years ago, actually about 8 or 9 years ago, I also served as the town's emergency management director, rewrote our comprehensive emergency management plan, and set up systems, mandated training for all of our staff. Every single employee in the town of Palm Beach is required to go through at least a basic level of emergency management training. That responsibility has been delegated now to our fire chief, who serves in that role, and I work with the fire department every year, every hurricane season, to prepare our residents and then to respond and react to storms. So I guess to answer your questions, I spend pretty much every day on the phone or working with our public safety chiefs.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Steinberg, and then there are no other questions. So if any commissioners want to ask any more questions, please put up your hand. Commissioner Steinberg.
Hi, thank you. If we were to ask your colleagues what they would say about your greatest strengths and your greatest weaknesses, what do you think they would tell us?
Well, I think my colleagues would probably talk about my employee centric approach to leadership. You know, I strongly believe that any community's greatest assets is its people. So I've made it a point in my career to make sure we are selecting a high quality talent, developing those individuals, and then giving them the proper coaching and development to be the best that they can be. But that sounds managerial. It's the humanity of working with your fellow employees that's so important. You know, the quick hello in the hallway. You know, how's your daughter doing in school? How's mom doing? Having these types of interaction with all of our employees, whether they're field employees or someone who works in the office next door to you. It's so important. Spend so much time together as a team. I consider my colleagues my work family. So my coworkers, my colleagues, my elected officials, they would say one of my strengths is the collaboration, the collegiality, and the kindness that I bring into the workplace.
Thank you. Okay, are there any other questions from the commission? Commissioner Richardson, late arrival. You're muted.
Oh, I'm muted. Okay, thanks, Mayor. Thanks, Jay, for joining us. So, I wanted to ask a follow up question on the first question that was asked by my colleague, Commissioner Samuelin, because I was going to ask you the same question, but he did that for me. So, thank you, Commissioner. In your answer to talking about sea level rise and addressing conflict, if you will, you said that if need be, I wrote some notes down, need be, we would have to step back. So if you watch some of the meetings we've had in the city over the last 5 years, there's been a phrase that's been coined called the pause as it relates to. So when somebody says step back, that sounds like a euphemism for pause. So I'd like to know, because right now we're dealing with an issue in one community about where to put a generator, and one group of residents in the community wants it one way. And so we have an option of pausing and doing nothing, or we have an option of resolving conflict. So my follow-up is, how do you resolve conflict when you have a situation like that?
Sure. Great, great question, Commissioner. There's always going to be conflict. There's going to be conflict between the community, the elected officials and the staff, the elected officials with other elected officials. It's inherent. And it's inherent because people who are engaged in a community, whether they're a staff member, an elected official, or a resident, those who become concerned and resistant or frustrated, is because they care about their community, and they're wanting to make sure the right thing is done. And I find that a lot of the frustration, the confusion, really comes from a lack of communication and a lack of proper engagement from the front end. So I think if you're taking that perspective and getting into a room with a collective set of different views, I think if you can start from a place where you honestly believe that everyone wants to end up in the right place, I think you can begin figuring out how to break down these communications.
3 minutes have elapsed. 3 minutes are left.
Okay. Thank you, Rafael. So, you know, as far as the step back or the pause, when I mentioned step back, I think you would want your new city manager to make sure that he or she understands what's going on, what the challenges are, what the issues are, huddle with the team. What you don't want to do is end up in a situation where something is built and people didn't quite understand what that meant to the community. I had a meeting this morning. We are undergrounding all of our overhead utilities in the town of Palm Beach, $100 million project. And we're talking about switch cabinets that need to go somewhere. The engineers are going to design things and put them in places that make engineering sense. But we've got to make sure that we understand the aesthetic impacts, the neighborhood impacts of how these designs will be in real life. And I think that it's a big mistake if you don't get all of the right players in the room on the front end. If you've already started, doesn't mean that you can't stop for a second, double check, because once it's built, it's a problem.
Thank you. Okay. Although we're 30 seconds from the end, so we'll end now. I don't see any more questions. Jay, thank you very much. I can tell you on behalf of our city, we're grateful. It's not easy putting yourself out, and it's a lot of time and energy. So we are grateful to you for putting yourself out and putting yourself up for this job. We appreciate it very much. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners.
All right, let's move to the next guy, Eric Carpenter, who is the Assistant City Manager of the City of Miami Beach. Let's see. PJ, you with us?
Yes, I am. Moving in and moving out. Eric has just joined us now.
All right.
Here now.
A good Billy Joel song. Eric, you know the rules. Give us an intro, and then I'm going to turn you over to the cabal of my colleagues.
Fair enough. Good afternoon, Honorable Mayor and Commission. I'm Eric Carpenter, your Assistant City Manager. During my 8-year tenure in Miami Beach, I've managed public works, transportation, property, fleet, environment, CIP, parks, parking, code, building, planning, and economic development. I have experience in leading both classified and unclassified employees and building high-performance teams to accomplish large and complex goals. I'm extremely excited by this opportunity to bring about positive change and leadership to the City of Miami Beach. My skill set includes my accessibility, my ability to listen, work with elected officials, staff, and the public, as well as translate ideas into action. There's a few items I'd like to highlight. If you provide the opportunity for me to be your next city manager, my number one role is going to be to constantly improve a high-performance team, to be able to evolve the organization to meet the ever-changing and expanding needs of a world-class city like Miami Beach. Coming out of a pandemic, we need to make sure our city is adapting to the changing landscape. Budgeting to be able to affect positive change and support the needs of the community is paramount. Supporting our public safety organizations and simultaneously challenging them to continue to best be the best version of themselves will be one of the most important roles of the city manager. Continuing to move the ball forward on our adaptation measures to sea level rise while still protecting the environmental resources that make our city so attractive. Implementing the capital program, whether it entails parks funded by the GEO bond, critical infrastructure improvements, or enhancement of lighting, I'm proud to say that I've been closely involved in approximately $1 billion of improvements for Miami Beach during my time here. Continued efforts on quality of life issues must be front and center, as well as both economic and community development initiatives, including the responsible expansion of housing at all income levels and creating more diversity in our economy. I've spent the last 19 years living or working in the city of Miami Beach. I've learned a significant amount about how best to meet the needs of this community, and whether working with the public or those employed or elected to be part of the city, I understand how important it is to build trust and follow through on all commitments. Making yourself accessible, genuinely listening to the perspectives of others is critical to building the consensus necessary to be successful in this role. In closing, you'll hear quite a few things today. Afterwards, while you deliberate, please reflect upon the many needs of our city right at this moment and who is already fully engaged in bringing about the vision of this commission and the community. I believe that I am the person that can bring all of these things together and lead this organization for the next 10 plus years. I thank you for your time and consideration today.
Thank you, Eric. So commissioners, put your hands up when you want to speak and ask a question from the list. And we'll begin with Commissioner Sandler.
Eric, thank you for your service to the city. You mentioned sea level rise and resiliency. So my question relates to the fact that various approaches, such as raising roads in low-lying neighborhoods or locations of pumps, are often controversial. How would you approach these issues as city manager? And please, in your answer, be specific. What would you do differently than what the city has undertaken to date?
So, Commissioner, I've lived this for the past 8 years. I can very clearly say that we've learned a lot. We've done some things very well. We've certainly had some instances where we've decided that we need to do things a little bit better, a little bit different. I think the most critical piece of it is the engagement with the community and getting their buy-in on specific items, specifically, you know, water treatment system locations, above ground infrastructure, harmonization agreements. All of these things need to be worked out in advance of any shovels going in the ground. Once we've put shovels in the ground, then we need to move diligently towards completion of these projects. We need to make sure that we're continuing to, you know, follow the guidelines that were set forth at the time that the contracts were executed. We need to try to avoid making too many modifications during the project itself. And we need to continue to execute what's been agreed upon by the community, the administration, and the elected officials.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you. Commissioner Miner, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Eric. Information is critical to making effective data-driven decisions. How do you approach incorporating data into your decision-making? And what can we expect from you with respect to sharing data with the City Commission?
So if I'm given the privilege of being the next city manager of Miami Beach, I am a big believer in data needs to be incorporated into the decision-making process, because the charter is very clear that this commission is the board of directors and the city manager is the CEO. It's incumbent upon me to the extent I'm legally able to provide data to the elected officials so that they can use that to make informed decisions. I also need to, you know, provide the information that led to my recommendations. As a city manager, I need to provide clear recommendations to this board so that they can react to that. Ultimately, you know, it's the board's decision on setting policy and direction, but the city manager needs to provide good, firm recommendations that are data-driven.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Minor. Vice Mayor Gangora.
All right. Hi, Eric. I'm asking you question 19, which is a multi-part, so bear with me while I get it all out. Please give us an example of when the policymakers in your organization prescribed a course of action that you disagreed with. How did you react? What did you do to convince them to accept your desired course of action? And what was the outcome? If the board did not accept your advice, how did you approach the situation?
So, there's a couple of different examples that I could use in this particular instance. I'll choose to use the one that was outside of this particular organization for obvious reasons, but I was faced with a situation where the board and the leadership of the organization was choosing to repurpose an existing asset that was still fully functional, as opposed to potentially building a new asset in order to increase the ability to deliver service to the community. I very clearly laid out pros and cons. I provided it to each of them so that they had the information available to them. And then, unfortunately, I didn't prevail in that situation. So I followed the direction of the board and I moved forward into implementing their direction.
Okay. How did you let them, as a quick follow-up, how did you let them know that you disagreed with them?
I reached out to them personally and shared with them my concerns so that, you know, they had the information and they weren't surprised with it when it was presented in a public meeting.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Commissioner Steinberg, you're up.
Thank you. Hi. The position of city manager often involves crisis management in this environment with new issues arising daily. How do you take care of the unexpected and still get all the other work done?
So the most important part of dealing with any, you know, crisis situation or even day-to-day activities is building a very strong team and having trust and reliance on the individuals that they can pick up some of the things that you may have to kind of put aside for a second when you're in crisis mode. But it's important that you're able to delegate to a strong team, let them deliver on the activities, and then you can respond to crises as they develop. And in the situations where, you know, you may have a little bit of extra time, I think it's important that no matter who it is in the organization from the top down, that they pitch in on critical path items to help out if, you know, for some reason, you know, your anticipated crisis may end a little bit earlier than you anticipated.
Any follow-up? Okay. Commissioner Richardson, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Eric, for your service to the city. I want to follow up on the question about sea level rise that Commissioner Samulin asked you, question 18. So as a follow-up question, you know, we're doing something in the city that few people in the world are doing. And it seems to me that we're going to make some mistakes along the way. And that's because We don't know 100% exactly the way certain work needs to be done. The other thing is, as we're doing this work, technology changes. So I'm under the idea of what would we do differently. What are things that we could do to better inform the city as a whole, the community that's directly impacted, the elected officials, so that people understand that we're going to make mistakes along the way, and rather than have people be surprised. Can you react to that?
Sure. I think part of the challenge, Commissioner, is that people only know what they see on a day-to-day basis. They don't really have a good feel for being able to anticipate what's coming in the future. And thankfully, there's a lot of technology and there are a lot of tools out there that are coming online that can help us deliver the message to the community that if we do nothing, we're going to end up in a much worse situation than if we move forward and make a few mistakes along the way. Obviously, from my perspective, the most important part of making a mistake is that you don't make the same mistake twice. You learn from it and you move on. I think that if you look at the track record of the city of Miami Beach in installing stormwater improvements, although, you know, I'll be the first to admit there were mistakes made, what we clearly can see is that the areas that have received improvements are in a much better position today than they were prior to, and certainly will be in a much better position well into the future.
Thank you.
Hey, just so that we fill a little bit more time, and I'll ask you a question that's one of my favorites. And I want you to think very carefully before you answer it, realizing that I'm asking the question. As part of your preparation for this job, you may have followed a few city commission meetings. What would you change about our process if you could? And try not to make this a personal attack on anyone.
No personal attacks. I do think that we have all of the benefits and all of the challenges of having a very well-informed, well-educated, significantly engaged community. But I do think that we have a challenge from time to time to relitigate certain issues. I mean, we have strong constituencies on every side of every issue. And as a result, you know, if it's a 60-40 split, you have 40% of the people who are upset about the outcome of whatever we decided. And I think we need to somehow find a way to keep from going back and backpedaling and revisiting too many items, because I think it does bog us down from being able to move forward.
Thank you for that answer. Eric, there are no other questions. So if there are no other questions, I am going to thank you. We are very grateful that you put in for this job. Obviously, you know all of us and we've worked with you, and we think the world of you, and we appreciate you putting yourself out because it's those of us who've run for office know that sometimes it's a tough process to put yourself out for something, and we are grateful that you have. So thank you.
I'm grateful for the opportunity, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much.
Okay. I think we have, who's next alphabetically?
It's Mr. Figliola.
Ah, Anthony. Let's bring Anthony in. We got him?
Yes, we got him.
Okay, I'm waiting to see him. There he is. Anthony, how are you?
I'm well, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
I assume you're in the soundproof room where we have put all of our applicants.
There we are.
Thank you. So what we're going to do is, you know the run of show, so we're giving a little time to, there's a first question I think I'm supposed to ask everybody, which is essentially your opening statement. So if you don't mind, summarize your background and experience and tell us why you believe you're a good candidate for city manager, and why you would want such an extremely demanding position. So,
thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pardon. I'll keep my opening statement brief because I want to give as much time to the commission to ask questions. But I'd first like to thank the commission for the opportunity to meet with each of you, and especially for the professionalism and indefatigable work of the staff who's kept this process on track in the face of a very challenging climate currently. My two decades of public and private sector experience have led me to this day, eager to lead this great city. I have the technical expertise and aptitude in public budgeting and finance, policy and economic development, personnel and public administration. Having grown up in a coastal community, I'm keenly aware of the environmental challenges that face the city of Miami Beach. I see Miami Beach as an opportunity to partner with the commission, city and staff, and the citizens to rise out of this pandemic stronger than before. It is local governments such as this which offer citizens participation, and it's the most direct access to our democracy. The ethos of public sector is that of being a servant who is providing a public service to the citizens equally and impartially. To the department heads and staff, trust defines the health of any new relationship. I will be a leader interested in my employees, one who is their strongest advocate and who encourages a climate of open and direct communication. To the residents, I will be in the community living among you, my children in the schools and playing in the parks. I will lend my ear to your issues and work cooperatively with the commission and the staff to find solutions. In me, you will find a proactive yet compassionate leader with good listening and engagement skills aimed to reach a common ground among the constituency. It would be my greatest honor to serve the commission, city staff, and most importantly, the residents of Miami Beach. Thank you.
You have to cut it down by half.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's begin with Commissioner Samuelin.
Thank you, Mayor. And Anthony, thank you for your interest in the position and your opening statement. Sea level rise and resiliency are critical. Various approaches, such as raising roads in low-lying neighborhoods or locations of pumps, are often very controversial. How would you approach these issues as city manager? And please, to the extent possible, be as specific as you can on what you would do differently than your understanding of what the city has done. Thank you.
Can you hear me? I was muted. I apologize. Okay, great. I think we discussed this a little bit in our one-on-one interviews. So thank you for the question. I grew up and I still live on Long Island, which is a coastal community. We're dealing with a lot of the same issues after storms, sea level rise, erosion that the city of Miami Beach is dealing with as well. I think one of the most important components of obviously taking into account the amount of bonding that you're doing to deal with road, raising the roads and obviously putting a lot of pump out stations and others is the community. And obviously, and I know that there's been a lot of talk in the paper and others, with regard to making the connection with the community. One of the things that I would do on day one is I take a look at, you've obviously created this neighborhood affairs division, and I'd like to see how they're connecting with the community, because it's my understanding that, obviously there's some issues with raising roads and people have some issues with flooding. I think when we talked about this again, with regard to different types of pump out stations, have to look at not just what makes sense from an environmental standpoint, which is critical, also from an engineering standpoint, but we have to look at the aesthetics of things as well, because people have to live and look at certain things, or these large pump out stations. Are there, different types of greeneries and others that we can do to put in, which I've seen in other locations, to be able to, create a little bit of more of a connection with the community so that so that they're not overly upset. I think that the problem is, and I believe in community-based planning, and I think that, I've been a bureaucrat, and I've also been in the private sector, so I have the ability to bridge that gap, and what I've seen is unfortunately, in bureaucracies, you just see the goal and you go for it, and sometimes you have a little bit of blinders on, and you're not thinking about, well, how does the community feel about this? And I think it's incumbent upon us, and it will be one of my biggest priorities is making that connection in the public outreach in the community to deal with those issues. Because again, you have $1 billion that you're going to be spending on a whole array of storm hardening, and obviously with Resiliency 305 as well, working with the county and the state. And those are areas that I'm very strong in utilities and public infrastructure that I think I could bring to the table.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Minor.
Thank you, Mayor. And Anthony, thanks for being here today. Miami Beach has a very strong public safety focus with our police department and fire department. What's your level of involvement and track record and experience with police and fire?
Sure. So again, in the early part of my career, I was the deputy supervisor for the town of Brookhaven, which has residents of almost 500,000 people. And I worked with this, I worked with fire and police constantly. We had a lot of different issues, certainly in some of the more economically disadvantaged areas where we had a lot of high crime. You had kids that were having issues even walking to school. You had a lot of issues with, local merchants that were having, they were getting robbed. And it was really, you know, working with the community policing efforts of the county police. We were able to really form a stronger bond with the local community and even in the fire department, because obviously there were a lot of emergency issues and alike. So, you know, I have a lot of experience working with them. Obviously, there's new technologies as well that have been employed with regard to technologies to identify criminals, giving the tools necessary to those that are police officers that are on the ground. Through crime hubs and others, and working with the police to try to identify ways that we can sort of speed up the process and analyze data quicker. I have a good deal of understanding of those types of technologies, which I know, again, the city's spending about $10 million in upgrading their crime hub. So I think there's some areas where I would love to work with the commissioner and the chiefs to try to identify ways that we could support them more. So I've done quite a bit in that area.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Minor. Commissioner Steinberg, you're up.
Hi, I think my camera's working now. Can you see me?
Yeah.
All right, sorry about that. All right, the national experience with COVID pandemic has raised important policy questions without, to do mask mandates and mandatory vaccinations, and even has created a work from home phenomenon. How would you approach each of these issues as city manager?
Great question. It's nice to see you again. We are in unique times, and obviously there's a lot going on in the state of Florida with various mandates and preemption, as we've discussed. When it comes to, I will follow CDC guidelines. I think it's important to look at what the county health department's talking about, what the CDC is talking about when it comes to masks. When it comes to staff, it's going to depend on the types of situations. I don't believe that that we should be in the position to put people on the spot when it comes to to vaccinate everybody. I think we get into some HIPAA issues, people that are pregnant. There's a lot of people that have different types of medical issues. So I think that's one area that, we'll look at the guidance on that. And if there are opportunities where people potentially that are non-essential that could work from home, I think that's something that we'll certainly look at. Again, when it comes to the mask mandates, I think masks work. My wife is a registered nurse. She wears a mask every day, not to get into obviously the political back and forth of things. I live in New York. We wear masks. My kids go to school full time at school. There have been very, very little issues. So I think that it works. I think once, if people get vaccinated or we have herd immunity and the CDC comes down and says there are some changes, I think it's incumbent upon us to look at those changes. But that's where I stand on that. And I hope I answered that question for you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Gangora, you're up.
Hey, Anthony.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you. So, from where you are, what are your impressions about the city of Miami Beach? And what do you see as the big challenges and opportunities facing our city, if you could specifically identify a couple of each?
Sure. I look at challenges as opportunities. I'm the glass is half full kind of person. Obviously, there's the environmental bucket and there's the economic development bucket or two. And then I believe also that there's the communication with the community, which is absolutely key to executing any project. When it comes to the environment, the challenges are rising sea level, the sunny day, the King tidal floods. We have to work with as a region. Obviously, the Army Corps of Engineers is going to be coming out with their final, we hope, sometime later this year. I know that the county and the city and other municipalities were not too keen on just building these massive seawalls. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity for us collectively as a region. And I think my background in government relations and working with federal and state officials could be of assistance on the lobbying end of it to really advocate effectively to make sure that not only are we protecting our aquifer and our homes and our businesses, but also that we're doing it effectively and aesthetically pleasing, because I think there are other things that we can do. Secondly, on economic development, I think we have a great opportunity, obviously, and I've spoken with many of you about this. The economy has gone down a bit, as most. I think Miami Beach can bounce back a lot quicker than others. Our resort tax, we're down about 50%. Obviously, those are monies that we can't move into the general fund, which obviously will support a lot of the GO bond funding on an operation side. But I think we have to look at our creative ways where we could generate additional business and additional tax revenue for the city. And I had sent around the deck that we had spoken about. I think it's looking to repurpose properties that may be more abundant parking lots. And I know that the commission on March 17th did a great job at really sparking and engaging that. But it's working with the local developers and finding ways to incentivize them to come in to build office space where we could attract tech, healthcare, other non-industrial uses, as well as those on Wall Street, which a lot of them are fleeing, especially with our New York budget taxing them. So I think there's a tremendous, and I know the city of Miami has been working very hard themselves in trying to attract some of these companies. So it's really attracting businesses to come down here to generate additional property taxes, but also the opportunity to have some of these businesses come down, to have more residents come into the city, as we've talked about and you've written about in many of your reports, wanting to attract more families to the community. So I think it does all that. And also, if I may add, part of that would also be next generation housing, identifying those properties, and it may be planned communities or maybe something where you have retail, residential, and some office space in a particular structure that could generate additional revenues for the city. And also could solve some of our housing issues as well. And then again, to wrap it up, when it comes to community outreach, it's important to build the bridge. And I know I said this before, but the challenge is you can't appease everyone and you cannot make everybody happy, but you can put your best foot forward. And I know that last year, under the previous administration, they changed some things in the office of the city manager, repurposed some of the programs, created a grants division and a community outreach division, which I applaud. I'd like to look at that and see how that's been working. I'd like to spend a lot of time in the community, talking with community leaders and residents to get a better sense of how they feel that the connection is. Because again, to sum it up, you can have a great budget, you can have a great capital program, but you have to have that communication with the residents and the commission, candidly, because we all have to be on the same page in order to push forward.
Thank you.
Hey, Commissioner Richardson, you are up.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks, Anthony, for joining us today. I want to follow up on the question that Commissioner Samulin asked you about sea level rise, sustainability issues that are so important to our community. As he mentioned, we've got issues related to raising of roads. We've got questions about where to locate pump out stations and so forth. And so I want to know how you would resolve conflict on those issues where we have a project and some people in the community don't want to do anything. And others want a pump station located at the end of a street, and some in the community want it located in another part of the community. So you just said that you can't appease everybody. I heard that. So how do you resolve conflict?
This is a great question. And it sort of brings to mind an article that I had read about the issue with the road raising and some of the folks in the community. I want to say it might have been Hibiscus, but I'm not sure if it was Hibiscus Island. But they had been concerned that there was a tremendous amount of flooding going into their front yard, and that the city, nobody had spoken with them. Now, I would venture a guess and say probably that there was some communication. But the key to all of this, Commissioner Richardson, as you know, and I. you're on the front lines. You guys are getting the calls most likely, you know, that there are certain issues and that have to be resolved. But really the key of it, again, is how do you resolve, you know, the communication gap? Personally, what I would be doing is, and I've done this most of my career, I would be out there walking and talking to residents and explaining the importance of the $1 billion that the city wants to spend on hardening our infrastructure, talking about what we're doing with vis-a-vis the GOAT bonds and some of the projects that we're doing to rehabilitate certain buildings and build new structures. Obviously, pump out stations are key. Yeah, and you can't make everybody happy, but you can build consensus. And that one of the things that you have to do is you have to be a very good listener. You can't be in a position where you're coming and acting that this is the way that it is. You have to really try to listen to people, because more times than not, people just want to be heard. And then it's looking at, here are the options from the standpoint of engineering. Here are the options that we have from aesthetics, and saying, these are the options that we have. And, you know, how would you see it, community? But ultimately, it's going to come down to how the city and the commission feels it should go, because our purpose as a governmental body is to protect our constituency more than anything else. And if it means preventing flooding, then that's what we're going to do. But we're going to do it thoughtfully, and we're going to work with the community as best as we can. But again, like I said, you can't make everybody happy. But what you can do is, nobody's going to criticize this administration for not reaching out and not trying our best to come up with a compromise.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, are there any more questions? Commissioner Richardson finished his. Anthony, seeing that there are no more questions, I want to thank you for participating today and also for putting in. I'll remind the public that we've all spoken with you individually, and I appreciate the time you gave me, as I'm sure my colleagues do. Also want to thank you for putting in into this process. Obviously, it's a lot to prepare. It's a lot to learn about a city, and it's a lot to go through all the time, which is everybody's most precious commodity. So thank you for all of that. And with that, I'll excuse you and bring on the next victim.
So. Thank you. Well, I just want to say again, thank you to the commission. Thank you, Mayor, for your hospitality. The city, it's a great city. I would love an opportunity, my wife and I and our children, to raise our children there. Hopefully I look forward to speaking with you all soon, and all the best to the other candidates, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Anthony. Okay, who's next? It looks like Ms. Hudak has appeared, or at least somebody claiming to be Ms. Hudak. So I will begin with the question I am supposed to ask you. First of all, good afternoon, Alina.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
Here is the intro. You probably know it, but I'll just do it because I've done it before. Please briefly summarize your background and experience and tell us why you believe you are a good candidate for city manager, and why you would want such an extremely demanding position. I think that question is intended to scare people away. So let's go ahead and hear what you have to say, and then my colleagues will ask you questions.
Well, it's not going to scare me away. I am here, and I am in the trenches. Good afternoon, Honorable Mayor, Commissioners, Mr. Attorney, Mr. Clerk, and Mr. Acting Manager. For the record, I am Alina Tejeda Hudak, and please note my emphasis on the Tejeda. I am a proud Cuban-American, and I do speak fluent Spanish. I know that that is important to many of you. Let me start by thanking all of you for this opportunity and for the professionalism and kindness that you've shown towards me and all of my one-on-one. I sincerely appreciate that. By way of introduction, I think it's important for me to focus on my qualifications and further clarify the context of my experience. As most of you know, I concluded my 35 years of service with Miami-Dade County as a deputy mayor, responsible at the time for a large portfolio of responsibilities that included the Department of Transportation, the Department of Public Works, the Department of Miami-Dade Solid Waste, Elections, Animal Services, the Public Health Trust. For the benefit of those who may not understand the magnitude or be knowledgeable with county government and its relevance to Miami Beach, the government that I was honored to lead as the last county manager in its history is the regional government for our geographic area. Larger than several states in our country, the region includes the city of Miami Beach as one of its 34 municipalities. As county manager and the chief executive officer, I led 27,000 employees and an operating budget of over $8 billion at a time of great economic and political crisis. A mayor had been recalled and the governance model was in transition. I was appointed the morning after the election. While the county serves as a traditional regional government, the county is a two-tiered form of government and also serves as the municipal government for unincorporated Dick County, which means that I also technically served as the city manager for over 1 million residents in unincorporated Dick, the largest city in the city of Miami. I am experienced and accustomed to dealing with the day-to-day operations of a city and a county. I have led and negotiated contracts for a multitude of public improvements, probably totaling billions of dollars. I have had the difficulty of hiring, firing, and disciplining employees at the highest levels and understand all too well the importance of our diverse workforce and the mutual respectful labor relations. In an emergency, I spent many days and months in the Emergency Operations Center, again, leading and participating in the decisions that have protected our community. And when I say our community, again, I mean Miami Beach, from every storm and every hurricane during the past 35 years. Decisions that included evacuations, school closings, shelter openings, and directing every aspect of the pre- and post-storm activations. I have been at the most horrific of crime scenes, and I have been in the homes of police officers killed in the line of duty. To this day, I attend every police, 9/11, and fire memorial that I'm ever invited to. Supporting and understanding the needs of our public safety first responders is paramount to me. I was responsible years ago for leading the effort that purchased and built the new Miami-Dade Fire Headquarters building, as well as the expansive logistical support facility that supports it. My experience and qualifications touch a broad range of projects in our community, so many that sometimes, frankly, it is difficult to document properly in a letter or in a resume. From bridge projects to cultural institutions to the purchase of the new rail cars to the operation of a resource recovery facility in West Dade that turns garbage into electricity, or from the simple task of collecting garbage from 350,000 residents twice a week, or perhaps the implementation of a $2.9 billion GOB program that built the two beautiful museums in downtown Miami. Everywhere I go in this community, I am proud to say that in some small way, I was a part of that. I have walked the streets of this community, every corner of this community, with elected leadership during the most difficult of times, during times of pain and struggle, and I enjoy relationships with a diverse group of individuals, both elected and community leaders. Please note that I use the term our very often. That is not out of confusion, and it is certainly not out of disrespect to Miami Beach. Quite the contrary, or really a passion for my past. It is out of a genuine belief that we, the city of Miami Beach, are part of and possibly the center of our community. We are the brand. We are the global destination. We are a critical and integral part of the economic and geological future of our community. I believe that I'm uniquely qualified and positioned to lead this city. On a personal note, I'm a wife and proud mother of two girls. I live a very simple life. I love my family. I love my friends. I enjoy every kind of music. I love University of Miami football, the ocean, and yes, public service. I chose to come back to public service after I retired. I am the daughter of two of the most honorable Cuban-American refugees that you could have ever met. They taught my brother and I an incredible work ethic, and most importantly, they taught us the power of gratefulness. My parents owned a condo on Miami Beach, and I spent all of my teenage and college years enjoying all that the beach has to offer. In all that I have ever endeavored to do, my parents' core values have served me well. I am honest, I am direct, I am hardworking, and I am loyal. I have never been interviewed for a job since I applied to be a management trainee 37 years ago, fresh out of high school, actually fresh out of graduate school, but I've certainly made up for it in the last 2 weeks. My talents and accomplishments have spoken for themselves. I am an independent thinker, and through 8 county managers and 4 mayors, I have never, ever been labeled as anyone's person. I was and I am my own person. While I have only been here a year, I am proud of what I have contributed to the city and I am particularly proud of all that we have accomplished together. I still have much to learn about the city of Miami Beach, and I look forward to that. I bring a fresh perspective and a lifetime of relationships and experiences that I believe will truly benefit our great city. I thank you for this opportunity today, and I look forward to continuing to lead our beautiful city together.
Thank you, Alina. Let's begin our panel with Commissioner Samulin.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Alina, for your years of public service here in the county and recently in Miami Beach. You know, sea level rise and resiliency is a critical issue. Various approaches, such as raising of roads in low-lying neighborhoods or locations of pump stations, are often controversial. How would you approach these issues as city manager? And please include in your response, what would you do differently than the city has done in its efforts to date?
Thank you, Commissioner Samulin. And somehow I knew that you were going to ask me this question. I think a couple of things and perspectives that I'd like to share. First and foremost, my year here has taught me that everyone wants the program. We all want the program. Our residents understand the issues. They understand the problem. And I think the issues predominantly revolve around aesthetics. I'm a very visual person myself, and I care about aesthetics just like everyone else and all of our residents. And so I think that there are ways that we can continue to work together to improve the way that we've managed this program. I think the program is planned and it's programmed in an outstanding manner. This is a city that has incredible plans, and two of the best and largest engineering companies in the country have really prepared us for the future. But clearly we have an issue with aesthetics, and we have an issue with potentially harmonization of these projects. So I think it's very important to explore what opportunities we have to include an architectural component in this decision-making and in our review and our development of the program. And while I love and respect all of the engineers that work for the city, I think that an architectural feature as part of the process would be very helpful, because I think that there will come a time where decisions have to be made and there's never going to be the perfect location. A location is always going to impact somebody. And so at that point, you have to be creative and you have to have the ability to be able to figure out how are you going to do this? How are you going to incorporate this into the aesthetic of the community? So I think a couple of things. I think we need to obviously use the plans and the programs that we have and move forward. I think we need to make sure that we incorporate this architectural review. Harmonization will continue to be an issue. It is a very difficult task. And honestly, kudos to all of our staff that are out there talking and negotiating hundreds of agreements with individual properties and with commercial properties. So there's a lot of work to be done, and I'm excited about being a part of it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Miner.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Alina. You touched on your opening, your respect for law enforcement, which I, as you know, I share deeply. Tell me about your views and involvement, and also your experiences with public safety and how you would address that.
Well, I have, again, a tremendous amount of experience with public safety. I was the assistant county manager for the public safety portfolio for Miami-Dade County for over 6 years. I participated in the hiring of three police directors, as well as two fire chiefs. I oversaw, you know, the day-to-day complexity collectively. The public safety component for the county means Miami-Dade Police, Miami-Dade Fire, Miami-Dade Corrections, Miami-Dade Juvenile Services, Medical Examiner. I actually was on the panel that selected the current Medical Examiner. And so I have, you know, tremendous knowledge and respect for the work that has to happen. I am familiar with training. I am familiar with technology. I purchased helicopters that fly over our community every day today. I participated in making sure that there were the appropriate improvements to facilities to be able to properly serve our community. The county has over 60 fire stations and I believe 9 district regional police stations. So I have not only participated from the perspective of helping to manage the public safety component, but obviously I have participated and have been a part of what, you know, in police life is called CompStat meetings, where you're looking at grids and you're looking at analysis and you're looking at situations and trends and you're studying how to target resources in a better and different way. So I would answer the question by telling you that I have a tremendous amount of respect and knowledge about every component of public safety in this community, not only within the city of Miami Beach, but obviously across all jurisdictions.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elena.
Thanks, Commissioner. Commissioner Steinberg. And then Vice Mayor Gangora, so you guys can just go in order.
Thank you. As you know, our residents are a top priority. Will you follow up, attend community meetings, or do you delegate to a subordinate? How will you be engaging with our residents?
I will engage personally. I have engaged personally. I have participated in many resident and town hall meetings already this year. Obviously, our new technology, I think, has allowed us as a city to really be able to impact and reach our community in a different way. It allows people not to have to rush home from work and make it to an evening meeting. I mean, they can sit in their homes, they can be having dinner, and they can be conversing with us. So I think it has given us a really unique opportunity to continue to work closely with our community. I was responsible in the county for implementing something that we called Team Metro, which I was extremely proud of. It was an outreach effort that actually created 8 regional outreach offices to bring county government closer to the people. Obviously, it's a very large government, and we were very worried that in the unincorporated sections of the county, we weren't reaching the public. And so I have a tremendous amount of experience with that type of approach. I am thrilled and really happy with the work that our Neighborhood Affairs Division is doing. I hope that all of you have seen the difference. We implemented that within 2 weeks of my being here. And I think that Kevin, Vanessa, and Lauren are doing an outstanding job of communicating with the public, constantly providing information. Our website has been updated in a way that really provides everyone the opportunity to have really good information about projects and timing. So yes, the answer is I will participate personally as much as possible. Obviously, there's complexity of things and conflicts, but whenever possible and whenever critical, I will be a part of any resident meeting that needs to take place. Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay.
All right, I'll jump in since I know I'm next. Alina, hi, good afternoon. I was reading The Real Deal, and there's this article about how the real estate market has just boomed this quarter. So I'm going to ask you question 13, which deals with real estate and development. When it comes to real estate, the city has a long history of experiencing boom and bust periods. I know because I've served in both. As city manager, how would you balance this pro-development versus the historic preservation goals during our boom periods? And how would you spur development during the bust periods?
Commissioner Gangora, Vice Mayor Gangora, of course you would ask me that question. Of the 39 questions in our questionnaire, that is the one question that I circled in terms of my level of expertise and my level of knowledge and comfort with. So I will answer it in a variety of different ways. First and foremost, you're hiring a leader. You're hiring a city manager who is going to manage, hopefully, very competent and capable people. I think the city is blessed. And I have to reemphasize that over and over again. I didn't know what to expect when I got here. But this city is blessed with probably one of the best planning directors I've ever worked with in my entire life. So in terms of answering your question directly, historic buildings tell a story. They tell the story of who we are. I still drive by the side of the Orange Bowl and cringe because the Orange Bowl was such a part of my life. So I believe very strongly that historic preservation and development are compatible, and they require you know, a lot of work, a lot of, I think that we have very, very good plans. Again, we have a comprehensive development plan that has a regulatory framework that needs to be followed and needs to be, again, properly communicated. And I think that there is always opportunity when you have good leadership to do what needs to be done in a community like ours, which quite frankly doesn't see bust very often. We're boom. And I think that there's tremendous opportunity to make the two things compatible and preserve the dignity and the integrity of the postcard that is Miami Beach.
Thank you. And as a quick follow-up, when you talk about leadership, as you mentioned in these areas, we can't all be strong in every area. Obviously, you have stronger areas than others. How do you work? Do you take on everything yourself? Do you delegate to staff? Are you a hands-on person? What is your leadership approach?
Well, I think my leadership approach is pretty detailed-oriented. I'm not going to lie. I like the detail. I like understanding the operation. I have always been proud of the fact that I didn't lead from the 29th floor. I went out to the field. I was at 6 o'clock in the morning at some of the solid waste job sites. I went to every fleet operation in the county, and that's 10 of them in my 9th month of pregnancy when I became the GSA director. So I lead by example. I work very hard. I am hopefully a warm and caring person. I care very much for our employees, and in many, many instances of discipline that I've had to deal with over the years that really involved difficult circumstances, drug abuse, and issues that were impacting an employee's ability to do the work that they needed to do, I did everything I could to make sure that despite the fact that we had to discipline, that we were looking for opportunities to help that person's life and future. So I know that I will lead in a way that is, by example, and that is participatory. That's a cliche, but it's true. I want consensus amongst our staff, and I will listen to everyone, and I will delegate when appropriate. That's why we have really outstanding directors and really outstanding assistant city managers. I am a person who likes the detail.
Thank you.
Commissioner Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I was going to ask you a follow-up question about Commissioner Samuelin's question on sea level rise about conflict, but I noticed how you worked that answer into your answer with him, probably in anticipation that I would get there. So thank you for that. I want to follow up on a statement that you made in your opening comment, and that is about being your own person. When I was a state rep, you and I had limited opportunity to work together. I think Zika might have been an issue. But you have a reputation of somehow managing to get through a career at the county, which can at times be very, very political. And your reputation has been that you've been able to survive that by being your own person. So I want to know, how is it that you accomplish that? And how is it that you say no to people like me and my colleagues when you need to?
Wow, that's tricky. One of the greatest compliments that I ever received, I received from my former mayor. We were dealing with consolidations of departments. He had run on a platform where he was going to consolidate 40 plus departments into 25. And I didn't always agree with where he was going. It was brand new to the administration. I was the only person remaining from the previous administration. And I really gave him my perspective, and I didn't agree with a lot of what he was doing. And later he told me, and I'm not sharing, palace secrets. I mean, he said this publicly in many places. He told people, Alina's always, she's elegantly told me I'm full of blank. And so I will tell you that I have always been truthful. I have always been professional. I have always had my facts and my analysis and my professional recommendation that is not, Alina Hudak. It's a professional recommendation developed by professionals. But I have always spoken the truth. And one of my greatest moments is the day, before the county commission when every single commissioner spoke to the fact that they had difficult moments with me where I did tell them the truth. And, you know, I loved a lot of what Jay said in his introductory comments, especially the culture of responsiveness. But I have to disagree with one of his statements about leading with yes. I would tell you that a true leader sometimes has to say no. And that's hard. That is really, really hard. And I hope that we all continue to have the respectful relationship that we currently enjoy, and that you will understand that if the answer is ever no, it's after exploring every option and every opportunity.
Thank you.
Okay. So I don't really have any questions. You sort of got, you hit all the stuff I was going to ask, and I appreciate that. And I want to, Alina, thank you for putting yourself up for this job and for your service, obviously, to our city. It's amazing that somehow somebody might look at the fact that you came here and then immediately a pandemic happened. But I'm assuming it had nothing to do with your coming.
Yes, disease. Disease follows me. Well, I want to thank you, Mr. Mayor, and everyone. I think whatever I've accomplished in life, it hasn't been alone. It's been with wonderful, incredible people that I was proud to serve with. Already here, I feel a part of something very special, and I very much want to be a part of its future. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Alina. All right. Let's get the next one. And members, I just, while we're waiting to bring in the next person, I want to thank you. Your questions have been terrific. I always appreciate the decorum of this body. I think it's important our residents see that as well. So, and to the staff, thank you. So who is our next person?
It's Mr. Reese, and he's already on board, Mayor.
I'm looking for him. Why do I not see it? There he is. Mr. Reese, unmute yourself, because that's the baseline requirement of the job is to
get a little bit of yourself.
Thank you for coming and for putting yourself out for this position. Our city is very grateful to you and the other candidates. I know it's a big, big suck on time to learn all about another city, okay, and meet all of us and listen to the same questions, but we appreciate you doing that. We really do. So on behalf of my colleagues and our residents, we're grateful. So I'd like you, you know, you got about half an hour. We may not use all the time, but part of the time will be to ask you an opening statement to briefly summarize your background and experience and tell us why you believe you are a good candidate for city manager and why you would want such an extremely demanding position. So go ahead. The time is yours.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm very excited about this opportunity. Let me talk about my credentials first. I have a background in emergency preparedness. I worked for the county for a couple years, so I'm very familiar with the incident command system and the different phases of emergency management, which will be suitable for potential hurricanes and other natural disasters in Miami Beach. I worked for nearly 19 years for the city of Columbus. I worked for the city's as chief of staff. I worked for the city's first African-American mayor, first and only African-American mayor, and dozens of council members over my 19-year career. I had 14 directors representing 9,000 employees that reported to me, as well as three deputy chiefs of staff. I manage large budgets. I manage a $1.67 billion operating budget and a $2.5 billion six-year capital improvements plan during the city of Columbus during my tenure. And that included getting capital projects done on time and on budget. I was on the board of Experience Columbus, which is responsible for tourism and conventions. And we brought family-friendly tourism and conventions to the city during that time and increase the budget. We advanced opportunities for minority, small, and female businesses. We transformed our downtown so that downtown Columbus had new parks, new neighborhoods, jobs, and a thriving arts district. I was in charge of our state and federal policy agenda, coordinating that with our business community and with other governments. I presently serve on the Ohio Water Development Authority. We're responsible throughout the entire state of getting brownfield projects, sewer infrastructure projects, and clean water projects done. We also in Columbus stopped a casino from being built in downtown Columbus. I know that's an issue that you're dealing with there. And public safety was a priority. And we created innovative solutions in Columbus to deal with very difficult situations, and that included community policing and how we deployed our officers. I'm used to making tough decisions. I'm used to crisis management, and I'm a strong manager. If I were selected for this position, I will live in Miami Beach, and I will be proactive, much like I presented my first 100-day plan and shared that with the mayor and commission. That's how I'll manage. And on day one, I will meet with the police and fire chief to get a handle on things and to understand what our plans are for the rest of the summer. I'll also start to advance the Art Deco Cultural District 12-point plan that's being discussed and immediately deal with COVID recovery efforts. So those are my credentials. I'm very excited about this opportunity. Miami Beach is a world-class city with world-class amenities. I know you have your challenges, but I strongly believe that it's a city of the future. And I'm excited about this opportunity to potentially lead the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you go by Michael or Mike?
Mike is fine. Thank you, Mayor.
Mike, we're going to go with Commissioner Samuelin first. Okay. We'll go ahead and ask him.
You again. I'm going to ask about sea level rise and resiliency. Various approaches such as a raising of roads in low-lying neighborhoods or locations of pump stations are often controversial. How would you approach these issues as city manager, and what would you do differently than your understanding of what the city has done to date?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner, for the question. I'm going to try to be as specific as possible. One of the things we did that I'm very proud of when I was helping lead the city of Columbus is we put together a sustainability plan called Get Green Columbus. It's a very progressive environmental agenda, and part of it was aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions, but it also dealt with a whole host of issues. And during that effort, we realigned city government, and we created a green team that was a group of private citizens to help guide us. So one of the things that I would do, number one, is I would create a sea level rise plan for the next 10 years. And I would want to align our staff accordingly. And I would want to involve private citizens, perhaps creating a resiliency team so that we get input from private citizens and they can help sell the plan as well along the way. So that's number one. Number two, I know the commission last year adopted a resilience fund in partnership with the private sector and and property owners and involving matching grants and that kind of thing. I'd want to know how that's doing and has it been successful so far, track it, and can we develop other partnerships like that going forward? That's number two. Number three, one of the things we did in the city of Columbus is we had something called Columbus Stat, where we brought our departments twice a month where they had to report out on the status of projects, new ideas came out of that effort, and what are some of the barriers to getting projects done. So I would want to have our version of a Miami Beach capital and resiliency stat, where staff would come forward to report out on projects, new ideas could be nurtured and developed, and what are some of the barriers to moving forward. One of the things that came out of that effort in Columbus was something called Blueprint, which was an above ground, very creative, cost-effective way to deal with stormwater management. So we want to explore things like that. And then number four, I would want to take that same approach of the internal gathering of staff and to go out into the community in a very proactive way and in an ongoing way to deal with some of the conflict that occurs and to listen to the community, have public hearings, and to make sure that information is correct, that residents are getting correct information.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Commissioner Minor.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Michael. I've been asking questions generally about policing, but I think you adequately addressed that in your opening and emergency management and experience with police and fire. And I know you mentioned in our private interview that your father was a police officer. So I'm going to ask a different question. Miami Beach prides itself in being accessible to its residents. Our residents are the city commission's top priority. What is your style of interaction with residents? Are you accustomed to receiving daily communications from residents and responding to them? Do you engage, follow up, and attend community meetings, or do you tend to delegate that responsibility?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner Miner. Well, for 19 years, I was in the community just about every day. I'm very accustomed to interacting with residents, to attending community meetings, to taking phone calls from residents. And, you know, I think that's frankly one of the things that the commission should assess my performance when it comes to benchmarks, is having a benchmark as it relates to interacting with the public. And that would be something I'd want to work through with the commission if I were selected for this position. You know, I think it's very important. I know as a city manager that I can't do it all. So I think it's very important to have a strong team, which I would surround myself with if I were selected with this position, much like I did when I was chief of staff of the city of Columbus. I know you have a very competent team there. I've seen through interaction during the commission meetings and such, but you know, I'd want to make sure that I'm holding them accountable and that they're reporting out regularly to me on what's happening in the community and where do I need to be. And I'd want to know from you, Commissioner Miner, and the mayor and all the commission about your thoughts on where I need to be, who do I need to be meeting with. And again, as part of my first 100 days, I talked about doing many of those things. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Steinberg.
Thank you. Hi. Information is critical to effective data-driven decisions. How do you approach incorporating data in your decision-making, and what can we expect from you with respect to sharing data with the City Commission?
Thanks, Commissioner Steinberg, for the question. It would be a priority of mine to share data with the commissioners, both in our one-on-one interactions, before commission meetings, and also during commission meetings. And I would want staff to do the same thing. And if there was some reason why a staff member wasn't sharing data, I'd want to know, you know, why that's the case. Perhaps there's a good reason, but you know, it would be incumbent to understand why that would be the case if they weren't. So I'm very supportive of using data to inform decisions. I did this for 19 years as chief of staff. We use ColumbusStat and all kinds of performance measures to inform our decisions on a lot of issues when it came to community policing, when it came to our one-stop shop on plan review and permitting and establishing timeframes. And when timeframes weren't getting met, you know, why is that the case? What does the data tell us? So I think data is not the be it all, but I think it's a very strong tool to use, and I will use it aggressively and make sure that staff is using it as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Richardson, you didn't have a question, did you? You do.
I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. As you may predict, I'm going to ask you a follow-up question about Commissioner Samuelin's question on sea level rise and sustainability. So thank you very much. Obviously, we have a lot of different opinions in our community and even on the dais about how we approach some of the issues related to sea level rise, including road raising. Right now, we're dealing with an issue in the South of Fifth neighborhood where there is a difference of opinion with different constituents regarding where to locate generators and pump out stations. So how is it that you're going to resolve those differences when one constituent wants the pump at the other end of the neighborhood and another constituent wants it away from their house? How are you going to resolve that conflict? And pause is not an answer, because that means we do nothing.
Yeah, that won't be part of my answer, Commissioner. Thank you. Well, first of all, flooding is a big issue in the city of Columbus. And we dealt with flood challenges throughout my tenure, and you know, establish capital projects, flood mitigation projects to address the issue. But I want to talk about a very specific example that I dealt with in the city of Columbus, and then I'll draw from that to address your question, Commissioner. We created a very best practice called the Big Darby Accord in Columbus. And it was a plan that involved 10 jurisdictions, including the city of Columbus. And there were developers that were looking to build in the Big Darby area, homes. There were environmental activists that wanted no building. And then there were 10 governments with elected officials, city councils, county commissioners and mayors, and township trustees that weren't quite sure what to do. I led this effort to create a new plan called the Big Darby Accord. And we built this plan based on a number of years of listening to people, of sharing information and getting input, and then building a consensus where there was a win in there for a lot of different people. It wasn't 100% endorsed, but we got pretty darn close. And it took a lot of hard work. It took time. It took a lot of listening. It took public hearings. It took communication. It took consensus building skills, being transparent, and focused on the end result. And the end result there was to protect the Big Darby for future generations, which is a natural scenic river in the city of Columbus. So I would take that same approach when it comes to sea level rise, controversial infrastructure projects, and going out in the community and listening, engaging, building a consensus. So that would be the approach that I would take, much like I did with the Big Darby.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you very much. I don't see any more questions. Listen, Mike, thank you very much for putting yourself out there for us. Our city is very grateful. My colleagues are very grateful. It really is. We're very impressed with you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you.
Bring in our next candidate, who I believe is Mr. Woodruff. I know he's here somewhere. PJ with us?
Yep, he should be loading up any second now.
There he is.
Hey there.
Right.
I made it.
John Woodruff.
All right.
We know you. So, John, first of all, and although I've said it to everybody, I mean it to everybody. I mean it to you. Thank you for putting in. We're very, really lucky to have, frankly, terrific internal staff in our city who are capable of taking the helm. And we really appreciate the work you've done and that you're putting yourself in for this. With that, I'm going to ask you an opening. I'm going to tell you what we'd like in your opening statement, and then I'm going to turn you over to my colleagues who will politely try to test you. So with that, I'd ask to please summarize your background and experience and tell us why you believe you're a good candidate for city manager and why you would want such an extremely demanding position, which is another way of saying why the heck would you want to work with us as manager. So let's go ahead and hear what you have to say, and then I'll call on my colleagues as they raise their hand.
Okay, sounds good. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the opportunity to give a short opening statement before addressing your interview questions. I think we can all agree that the city of Miami Beach is a special community that is facing difficult challenges. I believe that ideally the next city manager should be familiar with the issues facing the city, should know the community, and should know the organization so they can hit the ground running and start creating a positive impact as soon as possible. I believe that I have the experience and skills to be the right person at the right time to lead this amazing city. I have 23 years of experience in complex, fast-paced organizations while managing billion-dollar budgets and successfully overcoming difficult challenges. I began my career at the city of San Antonio, Texas, the seventh largest city in the country, and over 6 years developed a solid foundation for the rest of my career. I spent the next 10 years in Pinellas County, the sixth largest county in Florida, where I served as budget director and helped guide the county through the worst years of the recession. In my 7 years with the city of Miami Beach, serving as CFO and budget director, I've reported directly to the city manager and worked with everyone in the organization to craft solutions to all kinds of issues. Everywhere I've worked, I've compiled a strong record of accomplishments, and I'd like to highlight a few from my time right here in Miami Beach. During my tenure, the city has enjoyed the lowest millage rate, the highest reserve levels, and the highest credit rating in the city's history. In the face of COVID-19, my team worked with all the city departments to swiftly create budget balancing plans to rebalance the city's budget while successfully minimizing the impact to our residents and creating new programs to help the community. The accomplishment I'm most proud of was the 2018 GO bond program. I led the team that helped get the bond approved by 70% of the voters, and I believe that it's a great example of how to effectively engage our community that we can replicate for other issues. I'm personally big on accountability and transparency. So following approval of the program, I led an internal team to create the GeoBond scorecard, which has been a big hit with our residents. In fact, it's so popular that I'd like to use it as a model to create more scorecards to enhance helpful information to our residents. One of the things that sets me apart is that I have an MBA and I work hard to apply business concepts and innovation in the local government. I worked hard to transform the departments under my direct supervision into high-performing organizations. During the one-on-one interviews with each of you, I shared a presentation that included a 180-day plan laying out my priorities on the most important issues facing the city and clear ideas of how to address them. Instead of restating them here, I hope that in reviewing that plan, each of you can see the high level of preparation and quality of ideas that you could come to expect if I were leading this organization. I'm well aware that there's been frustration at times from our residents and elected officials regarding how long things can take, the lack of good planning, and the quality of follow through. My candid assessment is that the organization is good, but that there's definitely room for improvement. Great is what our residents expect, and that's one of the things I enjoy the most about working here, because when I do things personally, I always strive for great myself. Having an expectation of great constantly pushes us to do better. That's definitely a culture change you can expect if I'm your city manager. You can be confident that we'll be much more proactive, get more done faster, plan ahead effectively, build consensus, and improve communication with our residents. I consider myself an internal change agent. I'd like to change the status quo for the better. And since I'm intimately familiar with the organization and our employees, I'm in the best position to assess what needs to be improved and make it happen quickly. As far as fit goes, I believe that I'm a great fit for this community, and I know for a fact that this city is a great fit for me. I found that out the hard way when I left 4 years ago to return to my hometown and ended up coming back in less than a year, because there really is nothing like the excitement and magic we have here in Miami Beach. I'm a passionate person that always gives 100%. I appreciate that we have passionate residents with high expectations that push us to be our best. I would happily spend the rest of my career serving as your city manager, and I would definitely commit to buying a property here, probably in North Beach, so I can integrate my family into the community and keep a close eye on the projects in the new CRA. So in summary, I love Miami Beach, and I would love the opportunity to be your next city manager to help take this organization to the next level. Thank you for your time. I'll be happy to answer any interview questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Thank you, John. Commissioner Samuelin, I think you've been lead off on every interview. So
thank you, Mayor. And I'll take your advice. I'll try and be as polite as I can. I appreciate the feedback.
You're always polite. I was really referring to Commissioner Minor Steinberg.
Okay. John, thank you for your service. Diving right into it, sea level rise and resiliency are critical policy issues for the city. Various approaches such as road raising, especially in low-level neighborhoods, and the locations of pumps are often controversial. How would you approach these issues as city manager? And please, in your answer, be as specific as possible as to what you would do differently than what the city has undertaken to date.
Absolutely. This, you know, this issue is definitely the biggest long-term challenge that's facing our city. You know, we're also blazing new ground. We're, you know, this is wholly uncharted territory. So, you know, we're gonna make mistakes. We're gonna learn along the way. But I think it's really important that we have measured progress. In other words, we take a step forward, we reassess, we take another step forward, we reassess, and continually do that as we move forward. I think one of our challenges has really been creating our plan. And so when we haven't quite really nailed that down, I think it's hard to communicate our plan. So then our residents are kind of in the middle there with, you know, kind of confused about what we're really trying to do. Some of the things that I would probably try to do differently is maybe focus on commercial areas, something like North Beach Town Center, for example. We would probably get a lot more return on our investment. We'd probably, make a much bigger impact on a commercial area than just necessarily a single residential area. We could also promote private adaptation to help our residents better understand what we're trying to accomplish overall, kind of make it personal to them, like maybe help them with assessments of their own property so they can understand what we're trying to do on a citywide level, and maybe provide some grants so that we can help them with their own private adaptation as we take steps forward together on this issue. I think as we move forward with residential areas, we definitely need to be able to understand how much community support we have to do projects there. You know, we have a process right now for underground utilities assessments where the community will vote on whether they want to have a project or not. That's a mechanism that currently exists. We haven't really used it, for example, on some of these resiliency type projects, but it's another tool that we could consider using. We definitely need good process. Oftentimes in government, when we're dealing with difficult issues, sometimes there really is no great answer. So if we can agree on good process, so that at the end of the day, when we get to the end of that process, when we have to make a hard decision about the location of a pump station or something like that, that even if some segment of the community doesn't have consensus, doesn't necessarily agree on, let's say, the final location of that pump station, at least we can all agree that the process we use to get there is good. And I think that's something that we can continue to refine and get better at as well.
Thank you, John.
We've got Commissioner Minor next.
Thank you, Mayor, and thanks, John. So, John, besides our interview, I've had some recent conversations with you about public safety, and that as we recently increased our police budget, we're adding some additional officers, technology, and obviously as Chief Financial Officer, you are intimately involved in that process. But my question for you is, I'd like to hear your views and how you would lead when it comes to public safety, policing, and community policing.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of experience in public safety. You know, I've worked for City of San Antonio, one of the largest, you know, cities in the country, that have one of the largest police forces in the country, a huge amount of area to cover. We have annexation issues there. It's one of the fastest growing cities in America, for example. So as the city grew, we had to work through kind of annexation and creating new police stations and staffing up for that. We had issues on the Riverwalk. I know we get a lot of tourists here, but San Antonio actually gets 5 times more tourists than we have here. And so I worked through public safety issues, for example, in our entertainment area there in the Riverwalk. For example, just to give you some idea, when I was in Pinellas County, I supported the sheriff's office. And, you know, we ended up, property values went down 35% during the recession. So we had to cut 1 out of every 3 general fund positions. And that was probably 1 out of every 4 or 5 sheriff positions, because the sheriff was almost half of our general fund there. So in order to cut that many positions and make that level of cuts while preserving the most important parts of your service levels, We had to work very closely together to do that in a way that wouldn't hurt the community at the same time we're trying to meet our budget goals. Here in Miami Beach, I've worked with both chiefs, you know, the whole time I've been here. We've worked very closely on operating and capital issues. So for instance, when we were talking about the geo bond, we assessed what are their needs. For example, worked very closely with Chief Fernandez on, you know, obviously Fire Station 1 was in terrible shape. That was a high priority. We worked Fire Station 3. We talked about all their needs really for the next 10 to 20 years. And same thing with the police department. On operating issues, you know, with police over the years, we added 12 dedicated positions in the entertainment district several years ago. We've added 7 sworn positions, officers in schools, you might recall that. We've even added 5 positions in traffic congestion and several for human trafficking, police academy training, and other items. And as you know, most recently, we've worked together to enhance staffing in the ADCD, accelerate the security cameras project, and create that real-time crime center. On the fire side, several years ago, we added 13 firefighters in North Beach and also helped staff purchase and staff the fire boat, and also, you know, worked with them just on, you know, all their needs. Like this year, we've talked a lot about vaccines and the testing program and what the stress was in their department and what we could do to try to alleviate some of that. So in other words, in my role, I end up, and I have been working very closely with police and fire departments, which are really my biggest clients, if you think about it, for what I do for over 20 years. So I feel like I've got a lot of good experience, not just here in Miami Beach, but also elsewhere to bring to bear. So if I'm in the role of city manager, I think one, fairly familiar, at least at a certain level, with a lot of the issues faced in public safety, but I'm also pretty hands-on. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to go to police headquarters. I'm going to meet with the command staff. I want to hear their ideas. I would be very open to bringing in a national expert that they respect, that we could kind of work together on to get some fresh ideas about how to do some different things. Because to me, I've seen enough, having worked in other places, that there's always solutions. You know, we're kind of lucky that a lot of our issues are actually within like 2 square miles. You know, in San Antonio, I remember when the whole West Side felt like it was on fire with law enforcement issues. And that's probably as big as Hialeah and Miami combined, just to give you an idea. And so there's always a way. And I like to get the right people in the room. And one of my strengths is trying to solicit and pull out those ideas and really make them happen, not just talk about them, but make them happen. And I think here for our community, you know, public safety is our number one issue, at least right now. And we need to quickly, the new city manager needs to jump on this issue and follow through on it. Not just, okay, there's a wave of excitement, you know, immediately after spring break and sort of dies down for several months. And then a month or two before the next, you know, round, there's another flurry of excitement. No, I don't think that's a good way to do business. I think our residents need and businesses need to know what we're planning on doing well before, months before we actually get to those high impact events. So I have a lot of thoughts about that, and I feel very strongly about it. It definitely would be my number one issue if I'm the city manager.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Mr. Steinberg.
Thank you. Hi. So the city manager's role with respect to agenda items is to make recommendations to the city commission. What can we expect from you as city manager? Will you make strong recommendations, or are you more inclined to seek direction from the policymakers?
That's a good question. My interpretation is that you will always get a clear recommendation from me and my administration. Whether it's a strong one depends on what the issue is and how good we feel about that recommendation. So we're going to have a nuanced answer, but you're always going to have an answer. So depending on what it is, it could be a very strong recommendation. If it's something more where it's truly kind of a policy issue, it's kind of a toss-up, it's either 6 or half dozen, basically the same, we'll make that clear so that you always have the benefit of having the professional staff's recommendation when you're trying to make tough decisions?
Is that, Commissioner, you've completed? Can we go to Commissioner, the Vice Mayor?
Sure, I'll jump in.
And all right. You still have your hand up. Are you going to want another question, or is that just...
Okay. No, I have a question. I did have my hand up.
I know you do. Commissioner Minor also has his hand up.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Vice Chair.
My apologies.
Okay.
All right, John, I'm looking for something different for you. As you know, we have an active and involved citizenry, as well as local media, devoted to covering all activities at City Hall and in the community. Describe a successful interaction you've had with the media and or the public, and a not-so-successful interaction you've had with the media and the public, and what your philosophy and approach to dealing with both the community and media would be.
Okay, great. An example of, I think, a good experience was when we were working on the GEO bond. I got a lot of questions from our friend Susan Askew, and I basically invited her to just come to my office, and we could spend basically an afternoon just really going through all the, you know, it's a complicated subject. The community hadn't experienced the GEO bond in 20 years. So there wasn't a lot of understanding about it. So it was very critical that that we could help our residents understand what this was all about. And so she took the time, she had the interest, and I definitely took the time to meet with her, and we went through it all. And I believe we generated several articles that I think really helped our residents understand what it was all about, because there was several components to it. There was, you know, the selection of the projects, the prioritization of the projects. There was a public input. There was the public meetings. There was how does the vote work? You know, there's three different bonds. What are the rules? There was a whole lot that went into that whole topic. And so I think that was an example of things going well. I remember my time in Pinellas County when I was more of a first time budget director, and we had the Great Recession broke out under my watch my first year, and then the county administrator got replaced my first year. So that was fun. And we were trying to work with the media to help our residents understand that, you know, we're probably going to have to transform our organization and what we do to fit our new budget reality, because that was, again, I'll remind you, the property values went down 35% over a period of 4 years over there, because they were not going to raise the millage rate come hell or high water. So we were forced to basically have to cut the size of the government down. And sometimes you can't just trim, or sometimes you have to eliminate and do things completely different. I learned a lot doing that. But one of the things that happened was when, you know, we were trying to explain this to the media, I'm not sure we did as good a job as we could have. And so there was some confusion from our residents where they thought that we were going to eliminate everything. You know, we're getting a whole lot of phone calls and concern and anxiety. And so we had to quickly, once we realized that that's what was happening, we quickly did a virtual town hall, which back then was really progressive. I'm not sure I'd ever seen one actually before. And we tried to help everybody understand what was really happening. The good part about it is that it kind of forced us to do that. And once we realized how effective the virtual town halls were, we rolled them out and used them quite a bit to help get that word out. So, you know, as far as media philosophy, I think that if we leave a vacuum, someone will fill it. So I think we need to be a little bit more proactive about what we put out there. And also, I think we can, we can do some articles ourselves to help our residents understand more of what we do. For example, we have a blog for the GeoBond website that's pretty interesting. A lot of people like that. Maybe we could have a blog for the city, you know, and talk in more in depth than maybe a normal reporter would go on a lot of the issues and things that we are doing or we're working on, so that our residents can really understand what we're doing here, and also give them a chance to maybe ask questions. If we, you know, if there wasn't enough there, we can do a rewrite or add another chapter to the article or write another chapter on a similar topic, where if you try to do that with a reporter, usually, well, we went to print, that's it, sorry, can't change the article. and just wait for the next news cycle kind of thing. So I think there's actually quite a bit of room there for improvement, and I'd look forward to trying to do that.
Thank you.
Commissioner Richardson, you are up.
Thank you, Mayor. John, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your service to the city. We appreciate that. I'm going to follow up on the question Commissioner Samuelin asked about sea level rise and doing things differently. So as you know, we've had some projects, including the South of Fifth project right now, that is highly controversial. There are some people within the community that don't want the pump station in their backyard. They want it in somebody else's backyard. Then there are other people that don't want it in their backyard. They want it in the other person's backyard, right? Or put it on the moon or something. And I don't believe pause is an answer, because that won't solve the problem. So, and you don't have to stand for election. So I want to know how you're going to resolve this conflict in the community, specifically related to these issues of pump stations and road raising where necessary. How can we resolve this conflict so that we can move forward with projects?
That's an excellent question. I think every government at some point deals with NIMBY, not in my backyard, issues. And so really, to me, the main approach is good process. So in other words, an element of good process is also, you know, creatively looking at what are all the options, ideally, you know, well in advance, so that hopefully we don't get to kind of an impasse, you know. And so when we're at an impasse, at that point, we need to recognize that we are and partner with the community to say, okay, look, this project is now at risk because we can't seem to come to an agreement. So, you know, if you still want this project to move forward, we need to agree on a process to get there. And then whatever that result is, that we can live with it. And so, again, at the end of that process, maybe the result isn't what, you know, 48% of some of the folks in a certain place want. But if we can agree that there's good process to get there, I think that's probably as good as it's going to get. You know, I think that's similar to when you're having labor negotiations, both sides are kind of dug in, you bring in a third party, you agree on the process to resolve the conflict. You work that process, and at the end of it, you're going to have to live with whatever comes out of it, but at least you can feel good about the process that we use. And so I think, you know, a good process has a lot of benefits for all kinds of different reasons, but especially in something like this where we have a lot of passionate people, you know, feeling very strongly about certain issues. And that's normal here in Miami Beach. And that's actually one of the best things about Miami Beach, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, how we handle that, I think it's really a good process.
And just to follow up then, so in the situation where we're not going to have 100% agreement in a community, especially in a residential community, do you think we still move forward?
Well, I feel that's really one of the ideas I brought up earlier. You know, again, if you want to have an underground utilities assessment in the neighborhood, they have to vote on it. They have to decide if they want to do that, because they're going to be assessed for the next 20 years or so on that project. So, for instance, that's a tool we've never used. That's kind of a new thing in the toolbox that we could try out potentially. I'm throwing it out there as an idea. I believe there's always a way to resolve something. You know, we just need to dig deeper, try something different. And so that's something we already do. We could potentially have a vote, for example, whether it's the project overall or the location of a specific element of a project. I think that's a very American way to resolve conflict. And so that's just at least one new idea that I haven't really heard before.
Thank you, John.
Okay, John. Thank you. Thank you for the amazing work you've done for the city, and thank you for putting yourself up for this. We really, you know, I've said this a lot, but I can't, I think, say it enough. really blessed to have such fine internal candidates. I don't know that there's another city that could actually say there were so many, that there were three really strong internal people capable of being superb managers. So thank you for putting yourself out. Okay. So Roxy is a little getting anxious. It's been a long meeting for her. I know Commissioner Richardson is scared right now because, yes, that was Squeaky Fromm here and took care of him. I think before we conclude, I think it's there's another item. You're going to let us know, Raphael, the process. What item number is that on the agenda, Ralph Granato?
It's R9H, sir. And it was a
R9H. And what you're going to hear is the process by which we're going to pick the manager. And I'm going to ask Raphael, I know he's spoken to almost everybody about the process. So all I would just say is that, you know, when you have six people who are up for it and seven people who are going to vote on it, it's not easy. And I think I believe that our city attorney and city clerk did really a very significant job in trying to figure out a process that works. And they explained it to me, and I think it works. We're not going to vote, obviously, on it today, but I would just ask my colleagues, even if it's not exactly the process you might want as your number one process, I think it's one that will work. And I think we should all just sort of lean into it. But why don't you go ahead and explain it, Raphael, and why, and explain what it's the purpose of the way we're voting would get us to a judgment.
Sure, and thank you, Mayor. So by supplemental agenda yesterday, we circulated a draft of the voting procedure that we're proposing for your consideration, and we also emailed it again today, so all of you should have it. The concept is pretty simple. It's laid out in detail in writing, but it's a simple concept. We propose that we start with an initial voting round, not to appoint, but to identify the top three ranked candidates. Once you've identified the top three ranked candidates, and we'll go over the details for how we get there in just a moment, then we'd have a second voting round for the sole purpose of identifying the top two ranked candidates from the list of the three of the three finalists. And then you'd have a final vote between the final candidates, the two final candidates, and this final vote would be the vote to appoint our city manager. The procedure requires a few rounds of voting, but what's before you for discussion purposes is to narrow the field, very simply to go from 6 to 3, from 3 to 2, and from 2 to 1. Again, outlined in the written summary, but the way that each voting round would work would be very similar to the procedure you're comfortable with for board and committee appointments. In the first round, the clerk will give you index cards, and we will ask you to vote and to write down your top three candidates, up to three candidates. No particular order, no preference. Each candidate that you list gets one vote. You'll do that at the same time, and then the city clerk will ask you to show your index card and announce your votes into the record. Ralph, and this now becomes the critical part, Ralph will tally up the votes, and based on the total rankings, the three top candidates with the highest number of votes will then proceed to the next round. We've also proposed as part of the procedure that if there is a tie for the third top ranked candidate, if between two or more candidates who may have the same number of votes and may be tied for third place, then we'd have a separate runoff vote between those tied candidates, and the person receiving the highest number of votes in that round then proceeds to the next round as the third ranked candidate. So from our perspective, this is really the critical element because the tiebreaker will permit you at all times to break an impasse and to keep moving and to go on to the next round. In the second round, you'd use the same procedure that I've just described, except that as part of narrowing the field from 3 to 2, we would give you new index cards and you'd submit up to two candidates in that round. And then we'd follow the same rankings and the two top ranked candidates will proceed to a final vote. And this would be, that final vote would be the vote to appoint our city manager. So we welcome any feedback today. Next Wednesday, when we first call up the item, we'd like to present the procedure at the beginning of the item so that we could get this out of the way and permit you to focus your attention where we think it belongs, on the candidates and on their qualifications. We think the procedure gives you ample opportunities to discuss the candidates, to narrow the field, and to make, you know, this very important decision that you've been entrusted with making.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Minor.
Thanks, Raphael. Yeah, no, and I know we spoke before this meeting a couple of days ago, and my preference would have been, and I have a feeling I'm in the minority, but let's see. My preference would have been, and it didn't make your way into the footnote of the memo, so I appreciate it, to do go to 6-4 instead of 6-3. And my reasoning there is there are three internal candidates, and it's I mean, eventually we're going to have to whittle it down to get to that one, but it's going to be tough, I think, in that first round if you want to pick one of the external candidates to then pick one internal that you're going to have to sort of bypass and go the other two. So I thought it made sense to, at least initially, to start 6-4. And that would be my preference.
Okay. The only reason I'm and I appreciate that, Commissioner Minor. It's a good point, Commissioner Richardson. Your thoughts?
No, I would just to add my thought to that is that it doesn't really matter if we start with 4 or 3 or 2. My preference is that we would just name our top two, because it doesn't matter if we start with 4 or 3. Eventually, we're going to get to the point where we're going to have to make choices, and those choices are going to be public. So I recognize we have three internal candidates, and we want to express our appreciation for all three of them. But eventually, we're all going to have to make a choice anyway. So I'm comfortable with the process that has been set out. And as I said, I would have just started with everybody naming their top two. But I'm comfortable going to 3. I hope we can, it sounds like a very objective process. I hope we can just move forward with it.
And I appreciate your comments, Commissioner Minor. The only reason let me just say, for me, I'm Raphael's approach, in large part because I simply asked him to put together a process that he thought was appropriate and had some precedent, but also would follow it. And I think, by the way, one is as good as the other, honestly. And I apologize. My dog got a squeaky toy in lieu of Commissioner Richardson's hand.
Excellent.
But I just feel like if the staff thoughtfully recommended this, even though there might be other incarnations, I'm going to go with what the staff has recommended because I try to follow our professional staff's view when I think it's been thoughtful and it's complete. I don't think your approach is inferior necessarily, actually. And if they come up with that, I would be saying precisely the same thing as I'm saying now. So I hope you'll understand that. Any other thoughts on the process? We'll get a chance to vote on it right before we begin. Okay, seeing that nobody has any more thoughts, Raphael, thank you both for your work on that. I know you guys spent a lot of time figuring out a process and counting and things like that to looking at all the possible iterations. So I appreciate it. With that, this committee of the whole is disbanded. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks.
Thank you.